Okay, 29 days since we got to Omer. Today's daf is Chof Aleph, and we left yesterday off on Chof Amid Beis. We got up to, I think, Olo B'Cholach. Am I right? Omer Shmuel. What exactly is this Cholach? Sha'altinu L'chol Nechusei Yama. I asked all of these people who go overseas and are very familiar with what's going on all around the world, and they all told me Kulcha Shmei. The name of this Cholach is indeed popularly Cholach, Kulcha, which is the Aramaic obvious equivalent to Cholach. It doesn't help us too much. Rav Yitzchak Bar Zeira says Gushkara. Now, Gushkara is basically the sense of leftovers. We use the same word for in bread. Right? So we'll call the same thing dark bread or whole wheat bread, Gushkara bread, which means that it's of some type of material that apparently is the psolet of that material. Still doesn't help us. But Rav and Rabbi have a Yosef, Kameda Ravana. They were sitting in front of Ravana Nechemiah, who was the brother of the Rish Galusa, and the Chazid Avilovish Matachsa. They saw that he was wearing a beged that was made out of this material. That's the cholach that they talk about. That's his suit. That's the cholach that's not in the Mishnah. Omar Lay says, oh, that? Anashira Parnada Karinim. We call that basically fine silk. How could that be? Mesve Hashiroin Vakolach. Wait a minute. Here, listen, he's calling it Shira Parnada. Shiroin Vakolach. Sounds like they're two different things. And the Siriki. Now, if that's the case, things are beginning to get clear. Because then the Gushkira would be referring to a solet of silk. Shiroin are silk. Gushkara would therefore be spun silk. Now, this normal silk is made out of unraveling the cocoon. Carefully, you have long strands. But if the larva eats through the cocoon, then you can't unravel anymore. You get little pieces that are broken. But you can still spin the thread. It's a low-quality silk. So we would call it then gushkara, which would be the crumbing, so to speak, silk. And that's why we use it for bread as well. So the problem is, of course, he was calling it fine silk in his terms. It was called shirayin. Shirayin is really the full silk. The sarikin is the Sarikin is used for saruk, is Lashon of combed out. Difficult to believe that it means combed out silk, but it could be the equivalent of combed out. In other words, it's a long, so it depends how you throw silk. You can either twist it, or you can turn it in different directions as you pull it out. You create a different sheen on it. And the shiroin is probably the equivalent of that. It's the equivalent of another fiber. It would be literally, you would take a comb and comb it out. Silk is very, very fine. So, but certainly, when Abai is saying that that's called shira parnada, that would be called the kolok. Doesn't really make sense, does it? All of them are chayav and tzitzis. Of course, this is not going according to Man Yomer, which says the only begotten that are chayav and tzitzis is Emru Pishkin. So anyway, to Yufta, this seems to show that they can't possibly be shirayin. Or you could say, well, maybe shirlok with a shir parnada. It could be that it is shirayin, but not normal shirayin. In other words, parnada shirayin are actually spun silk. So it's like a trade name, which is a lower quality silk, but in his terms, in a biased town, that's what they used to call it, shir parnada. But in any event, we're talking about over here something that's made from silk, probably what we would call spun silk, and from that you can't make a petilot. We'll see later on that all of these petilot, although they'll burn, they won't burn cleanly. There's a lot of sputtering. They don't. They're not actually smooth all the way down, and therefore you never know how the oil is going to flow in them. They don't flow continuously, and so because of that, the Chachamim asked it. We'll see. We'll discuss particularly one that we brought up yesterday, the Rambam's book, that it might go out. But that has all types of implications later on. The next case that we had, we said lo b'cholok, lo b'petilat ha'idan, lo b'petilat ha'idan. What exactly Tilat Ha'idan? Tilat Ha'idan is Achavina. Now, Achavina, of course, is the Arava. The Arava is a piece of wood. It's not something that you can burn. And the next story explains what it's really referring to. And Ravin and Abai have a kazlat, the Pakta de Tamrita, walking through the hidden valley one day, were Ravin and Abai. Now, Kazino Hanu Arvata, they saw these Aravot, and Ravin said to Abai, I know Yidan. That's the Yidan that's done in our mission. Omar Lay, Abai said, how could that be Yidan? He hates the Amo. That's nothing but a piece of wood. Kolaf. So he took off the bark, the achvale amrunita, the beni beni, and he showed him the woolly substance between the bark and the wood. And when it's referring to making a ptila, it means to turn that into a ptila by spinning it. Velo b'ptilat hamidbar, what is that referring to? It's referring to shavra. Shavra is a stringy plant that grows along one of those desert water-seeking plants. You can make, apparently, a poor ptila out of it. Velo b'yirokash al pnei amayim. Mahi, what exactly is the yirokash al pnei amayim? I mean, surely you don't mean uch metad acharitze. Uch metad acharitze, basically algae mats that grow on the chari. Charitz are places that are just standing water. The water stands a long time, so it forms this very thin layer of algae, but actually if you try to make a ptila, but it's like a marzizif rufim afar, and it simply breaks up to little pieces. How can you possibly make a ptila on it logistically? Elomer of Papa, when it says yirokash al pnei amayim, it doesn't mean just floating on top of standing waters. It means uch metad the arva, means the things that grow off the sides of boats that are staying in one place for a long time, which are long and mossy, and those, in fact, can be turned into a ptila. Tana, Hosifa Aleihem Bishul Tzemer, Bishul Sear. In the Braita that says other things that you mustn't light with would include wool or hair. So why does our Tana, that's sort of the most common thing. Tana lists all kinds of strange things. Why doesn't he talk about those two? But Tana Didan. Tana says, I mean, there's no point in even mentioning it. Because, I mean, you may make it into a peel and says it'll look like a peel, but it doesn't burn at all. Tzemer Mikvetzkov. If you try to light Tzemer, all it does is ball up. And Sar, it's Ruchim. If you try to light Sar, and all it does is singe. It doesn't burn. So what's the point of listing in the Mishnah something which anyway is not a p'tila? We're interested in listing things that can be used as a p'tila. You can light that. And they simply don't light well enough for us to use for the Ner Shabbat, either because we're cheshish for Hataya, or we're cheshish because of the Shalom Bayit issue. You'll end up being in a dark house for Shabbat. But what is Zephet? What exactly is Zephet? Zephet is Zifta. So that's the... How do they translate that in the... Is that English?
Zephet.
No, teacher something, but there's a... I used the word Zephet. Oh, come on. It's not tar. Tar is a deposit. This is pitch. It comes from trees. This is pitch. But when basically what happens is we have refined pitch. The end of the dripping of pitch is watery, but it's highly flammable. Is there a special word for it? No, this is a tree resin. It's like it's used in lamp oil. Right? I can't think of the word. No. Kerosene is again. That's great. So I mean, the Gemara talks about kerosene.
Resin
from a tree is a zephyr. But anyway, this is the zifta would be the clear stuff. Shava is kiruta, and that's the actual raw wax in the hive. So Tana Atkan Pasuptilot. And the Braita points out that up until the word zephet, it's been talking about the wicks, but Mikan Ve'elach so Shmanim. From this point on, we're talking about fuels. Isn't that rather obvious? I mean, from the simple logistics of Shita, how could we have thought otherwise? Well, now wait a minute. The Shava wax, you could easily have thought, is talking about teal, and this is what we call a wax handle. A wax handle doesn't have a fuel in the sense of a renewable, refillable fuel. So I might think that maybe even as a p'tila, meaning even as a wax handle, which is a p'tila impregnated with wax, essentially is what we do. We add wax around it that melts and actually to burn in the p'tila. I might think that impregnated wax p'tila is also us. Therefore, we have to distinguish between the first grouping, which is a grouping of p'sul t'filot, and the second grouping, which is only a p'sul of fuel. Now, Shenkin, when it comes to using it as a p'tila, there'd be no problem. So therefore, Shabbat, strictly, ma detema le p'tilot nami lo chazia, v'mash v'lan, that as a p'tila, it would be okay. Omer Rabbi Bar Rovin Itrana Itran. We use Itran. That's the psul of the zifta. Here they must play with what Itran. That's what I'm talking about. It's a very fine, clear stuff.
Itran is the residue.
Oh, friend.
Look at the footnotes.
I don't understand why. But, I mean, all you have to do is research it for 10 minutes. Right?
Which word do you want to guess? What Itran?
Yeah, the English word for Itran, which is used for lamp oil. It's not dark. It is zephet itself is dark. Itran is clear. So Itran is the psul of the zifta. After the resin runs out, as Rashi says, you get an oily type residue, which is clear. And that's called itra shava, psulta de dufsha. And the shava is what's left after you empty a hive. Now, in all the other cases, we said, what are these things? Now, obviously, these words are commonly known. What is the point? Am I not Kamina? What's the point of explaining this to me?
Liquid sugar,
paraffin oil. Yeah, but that doesn't come from trees.
Paraffin
as well. L'may naf Kamina, l'mecha kolamemka. The naf Kamina over here is whether somebody can demand, if you sold him, dufsha. I mean, if you sold him rather shava, can he demand that it be refined wax so that you melted it down and got rid of all the residue in it? So pure now, kamash malan. No, sulta the dufsha is what's referred to as shava. Even if there is a mecha fumemka, and that's the most that he could demand to get. Tanurabana, kol elusha amru ein madakim behem shabbat. Even though we said you can't light them, whether it's in terms of the fuel or it's in terms of the wicks, throw them all together and burn them. Osin mehem edura. Certainly, if you're talking about something that's a lot of heat. We have no chashash. You want to make a midurah on Shabbos, whether it's in your fireplace or in a lamp. I mean, that's ben litchamein kenegda, ben lishtamish l'ora, ben agave karka, ben agave kira, some have the lashon ben agave menorah. It's all fine. Lo asher asot ben petila l'ner v'ufad. All the things we're talking about is to have a lamp. A lamp has a single tila, has fuel in it, and we need to be worried about the level of heat that's going to be generated by this tila that allows the lamp to burn continuously. And because of that, we ask it. It's not that we ask for these substances on Shabbos, as long as there's no kashash, it'll go out, it's fine.
The nair means for bracha, the one you make the bracha.
No, not necessarily.
What's the aura?
Because this would be also on any nair, because of the Shema Yata Gezerah. In other words, if this is your only nair, even if this is not your, there's a mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, then you're gonna, we spoke about this yesterday, why didn't the Mishnah begin with a Fiyah of Avakat Nerot, right? So there's two different issues over here. I mean, there's the fact that I need to have my nair burning for my, that which I did for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And then if I light other things I intend to use on Shabbos, so then I would also have a Shema Yata. I'm gonna be Misham Mishra. So, I mean, the Mishnah could have more general application.
It's okay, but in Shamish La'ora, and we're just saying not to do it Lener. So
Lener, because Lener can go up.
La'ora, what that would be?
La'ora is in a pyre. In a pyre or in Lener?
The
problem is that you may, well, there may not be. There may not be. I mean, that's a question. If you have a Ner, the Tosher, right, and that one is burning properly, then we don't have a Fashash of the, perhaps you'll try to fix this. Yeah, but then it becomes a Shiloh. How close? Well, you know, that, which is very near the Hanukkah should be coming up. It's exactly the same issue. You have a Shabbat, how close it's down, another Nair in the room, and so on. So I'm comparing the two issues, you look at the Shabbat as well. If I have another lamp that I'm using, so then what's the Chashash over here? Particularly if the Chashash is that we're afraid, as we said, the Rambam brings to the Gersh of Shias, if we're afraid because of the Nair Shabbat, we need you to have light. As long as you have a kosher light, it shouldn't be a problem. Because then there won't be a problem of your Shalom Bias anyway.
Is that the thing about menorah?
No, menorah doesn't necessarily mean menorah. Menorah just means a thing which I burn a lot of. It doesn't mean the menorah of Hanukkah, but you get it to later. Yeah, right. So you don't have to worry about a particular tefillah, but you're burning something in a container that, you know, doesn't matter if it burns up rapidly.
Basically, so the difference is between menorah and Nair.
Yeah, correct. Below Bisham and Kik. What exactly is a Kik? Bisham and Kik. Amar Shavu Shaltino Lachol Nachut Yama. Here, too, I asked all of the people who are what we would call all the jet setters. They're all over the world. And they told me, Ulfachad Yesh Bekarfei Yam Kik Shema. There's a certain bird which is a Kik, and it's referring to the oil that's made out of that Kik, which is fascinating because the Yerushalmi says that the Kik is a Ka'at, which is Hamei. And the Shaila is when it says that all of the above things can be used for Nerot Hanukkah, and that means you're allowed to use something which is not kosher, Nerot Hanukkah, which has a lot to do with the whole sugya of how much was the Hanukkah menorah meant to be similar to the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, and anything which is not kosher to eat, and Hashi Yisrael isn't kosher to be used in terms of the Avodah, and that leads to all types of fascinating theories. You have this little comment of Shmuel, and it turns out to be fundamental to a lot of different sugyas. Rav Yitzchak Breider of Yudamar, actually, the cake is mashka v'kaza. It's good old cotton oil. Nothing all that exotic. Rish Lakish says the kik. I mean, just think of that word. Doesn't it remind you of something? It's obviously the kikayon. It's the tree that comes from Yonah's kikayon. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, I actually saw that. It was very popular. Because of the kikayon to Yonah. I saw that kikayon in Eretz Yisrael. And it's litzuliva dami. It looks like a very large tree that's uliva, and which is a non-fruit bearing tree. Midapashke Rabbi, it's very, it grows on in marshy land. Velkum Chanuta Madunyate. It's very popular for planting in storefront, and they water it because it provides a lot of shade and it also has a nice smell. It sounds like a gum tree. You know? And umipatsdui ave mashra. And what they do is they make from the garinim that come on this tree, they make an oil, which is what we're talking about over here. Uba anpui naichen kol brichi demarava. People who get ill in Eretz Yisrael like to lie between the trees in the shade, and apparently the smell of it helps you get better. It sounds like eucalyptus again. We put into our water. It's interesting because you both stuff.
The impression is that this is in Eretz Yisrael and not in
Bavli. It's called Brichli Marov. All of this
has this kikayon in
Nice. Who gave him a special one? Omar Rabba. Ptilot shamnu chachamim, ein mavikim ben b'shabbat, v'pnei sha'or nesachsechet v'hem. The reason that we don't let you use these ptilot on Shabbat is because the flame is misachsechet. Now, not just two lotions of misachsechet. Misachsechet in the sense of a sakin that is misuksa, which means that it's a rough knife. We use this in chulin for a knife that is going to cause aspegimas. So what it does is it rubs against the flesh. Rashi brings there exactly mitzrayim the mitzrayim, which means to create friction and brought friction between two groups. Here mitzuksechet, which would mean that the flame basically, you know, it sputters. It's not the same all around. You have a nice calm flame, but you have a flame that's jagged. That, you know, bursts here and goes down there. Well, no, because there it's not, that has a pattern. Sichsuch has no pattern. It's just a result of friction. Another lashon Rashi brings is misachsechet, is a word that's used for singeing the edges off. So misachsechet could mean that the flame is not really attached to the ptila. In other words, there's two, it's a little bit, which would be mamish the opposite, because it would mean that the ptila actually causes it to evaporate too rapidly, so that you have the flame popping off. of the year, and it's easily put out. Two very totally different meanings in terms of what the basis of the Yisr would be, and the Rashi is only talking about in terms of the time of the word. So that would be the Ptilot and the Shemanim, yeah, because Shemanim Shemru Chachamim and Dagibim, Bipleshenim Shachin Acharab Tila. These are oils that are not drawn well, and because of that, more likely to go out. How about if you actually change the surface tension of these other things by putting oil in them? But you're telling me that they don't flow properly. Obviously, we've got a problem with their surface tension. They're flammable, but they're not attracted as much to the tila as they are to themselves, essentially, is what boils down. So I put in a little bit of oil in it. I'll break that tension. Now it'll flow properly. So is that okay? Or is this just exactly, you can't use these materials? Shall we make a gzera then? That meaning that this is an extent gzera. Rambam said, don't use this because even if you mix with it, you may end up using it on its own. Or is that already taking it too far? No, you can't be madlik. Why? Because that's what it is. In other words, there's no way to have one without the other. We're going to say in madlik. And start people are going to say, well, I don't know how much. Okay, so then we made a statement in madlik. That's correct. That's the point. In madlik. So we didn't start making out distinctions with or without. The one who raised it. Here it says, now this sounds perfectly consistent. You take something that you're not allowed to be madlik, and you wrap it with something that you can be madlik. You can't be madlik, which is exactly what I just said, really. I mean, that once we tell you you can't use it, you can't use it. For some reason now, we ask on Rabba from the second plea, which is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Shel Beit Abba, Hayu Korchin Ptila Gabeya goes, Umadliki. Whereas in our family, they would wrap the Ptila on a nut, and then they would be madlik the Ptila. It says over here, you can. On my label. Well, first of all, what's your question? On the most of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, instead of asking a question on me from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, why aren't you nice to me? And bring me a riot from the Chachamim. Call me and say what I say. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I mean, it's okay. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argues, so why shouldn't we go with the Rabbim anyway? Hello, Kashin, that doesn't bother me, because whenever we bring a Maisa, and Maisa is Rabbim, he's not saying a theory. He's saying this is the way they actually used to do it. That's the way they used to do it. It means that was Mekubal. La halakha. That I'm asking you because this is the way it was done. Now, I mean, the first thing that strikes us is that this question is a little bit silly. Because obviously, if you're wrapping something on a nut, there's no possible way to light the nut. I mean, clearly, the purpose of this is not to have a dobra that, as he answers him, so what does he tell him? My rab lahadlik, isn't this for lighting? And lo lahakpot. It's actually to float it. Well, I mean, what exactly are we thinking here? And if we're talking about floating, then why would the Tanakama ask him? What's the, my time to Tanakama? No. This isn't a machlokes. It's kulub shim yom liyo. You have to read it like this. The meaning is you can't be madlik, and that's exactly what Rabbi was saying. But the piece that's missing is this. This is only if you're going to actually have something that you're going to be lighting together. But if you're using material to float the wick in the oil so that it doesn't fall into the oil, then it would be okay, and I'll prove it to you by the fact and everything is fine. So there you go. So it's actually entirely going according to Rab.
It makes no sense. I mean, an egos can't be a wick at all.
Exactly. So that's what it says. What's the point? So then what was the Gemara's cash? We're not talking about something. So again, the Shaila is over here what the issue was. Good recovery. Cool, smooth, like 90 feet long. See, Rich, that's the way to do it, man. It's a skill. A skill that comes in long, long practice. So actually, it's not quite clear whether the issue of the tilot is the question of I'm trying to light two materials, getting away with lighting a poor one because I have some good material that's mixed in it. If that's the case, I mean, then it, and it goes, doesn't really make all that much sense. There's also an interesting Rambam which makes more sense in the Gemara, which is that the other material prevents the free flow of the oil in the good material, so it creates pressure in the material instead of allowing it to be there. If that's the case, then the egg goes would be the same thing. It's in the way. And it was unwrapping it on the egg, which I think means the same thing over here as hadlaka. So what it means is that the oil is going to have to go through a tila at his height on the yagot. That's when that lahat. He said, no, it's only lahakot. It's not even attached to the tefillah in any kind of way that's going to prevent anything. It's just there to keep it from falling. Right? Yeah. So mamela, I mean, then it already makes sense. And it would certainly seem from the Gemara that there was a reason for us to think that lahadli was a reasonable assumption. Ask the Gemara, but all of this is really true. We said that the chelev that you boil up ale, not allowed to use it. And yet it says that if a person puts oil into it, you can use it. That's exactly the opposite of what Rava was saying. But surely he's not arguing on Rava's side over here. It's a big difference. Those cases were actually, you're talking about two stages. Remember, start off with chelev she'ino mu'utach. Chelev she'ino mu'utach doesn't burn well. So then we said, okay, how about if I'm not there, I refine it, boil it down. So we said, well, you can't do that either. But why can't you do that either? It flows well, again, because we don't want you to come to use regular chelev that's not mu'utach. Now you're saying, well, how about if it's a chelev mu'utach, I also put shemen. Now you're going to say, well, we don't want that because you may use the mutach, which if you do, you may use the non-mutach. That's already there. So there's a big difference in these cases. You see, these, honey, the ones you just brought, here by Dagim and so on, they're mimshle b'inai. Truth is, they burn on their own. The only reason we asu them is because we're afraid of the mutach, because maybe you'll use the eno mutach. Okay, so what are you going to do now? Make exerah like exerah? Mashen came the other cases, which is only one exerah. Those we're talking about the fuels in the Mishnah, which did not burn properly. So you want to make them burn properly by putting in shemen. That's lo mimshle b'inai, that's one gezerah. So gazru rabbanan al chelav mutach mishum chelav she'eino mutach, no girvei dagim shenimucho mishum girvei dagim shelo nimucho. And why not just throw it all together in one basket? V'ligzor nami chelav mutach v'girvei dagim shenimucho shenatan l'tochan shemen. Why aren't we gozer mixing shemen with the chelav mutach mishum chelav mutach v'girvei dagim shenimucho shelo nitan l'tochan shemen? I just explained to you. He goofed gezerah. I mean, that's the point. The use of the shemen mutach v'girvei dagim shenimucho is itself gezerah because we're afraid that you'll use the raw material. So now you're going to say, so if we did that, and now we mix it with shemen, so we should make another gezerah. Therefore, we say one step away from the usable fuel, the non-usable fuel, will be gezerah. Two steps away, we won't be gezerah. So either putting in shemen into a non-usable fuel is not going to help you, or refining a non-usable fuel is not going to help you. But putting in shemen into a refined non-usable fuel is already, we're not going to make gezerah.
And they don't think
that's no. We're going to get to the sink problems later. Tani Rami Bar Chama, Tilot v'shmanim shamru chachamim ein madikim behem b'shabbat. If you can't use it for Shabbos, you can't use it in the Beit HaMikdash. Because since the Torah was marked here on Lahalot Ner Tamid, who Tani Lavu Amarla, he said this over and he explained. What's the pshat from Lahalot Ner Tamid? The pshat is, they shall have it, Ola Me'eleha, Ola Yedei Davarachar, which Tosfos pointed out earlier, was the Gemara's assumption in bringing a raya from the dinim of the Hadlokas HaMenorah to the dinim of a fireplace. And the idea of here is that you should have the type of flame that doesn't require constant worry. And that's part of the Halot Ner Tamid. So if that's the case, two different dinim in the how much it needs to be lit. That if it's lit, it's already sufficiently hot that it's going to continue not saying its own reaction. But furthermore, it also has to be lit with the type of material that will assure that it's continuing to burn. And that's part of the Tamid. In which case, if the Chachamim already defined these Shvanim as being unreliable, and for Shabbos purposes, and by the same token, they're unreliable for the tamid of the menorah.
Whatever meaning they would use for the mikdash is referred to shemen's oil. How can we learn that you don't use any other oil because of Nerot Shabbat? It's the other way
around. Yeah, let's wait. We're going to get to the Hanukkah thing, and then we'll see the connection between all of these. Ideas, whether there's a connection to the real menorah or to any menorah.
What does it mean? How much you need to live? How long you need to live? I don't know.
Which one? So what length of tamid means that it can continue to burn all the time. Yeah, and how long it will burn. We'll see that we have a number of different things we have to worry about lighting in the Beit HaMikdash. Tonight. Now, it says in the Mishnah that they would take the worn out hands of the Kohanim and the belts of the Kohanim, cut them up, and use them as wicks. Now, Lechora, you've got over there, Semer, right? I mean, it's not supposed to be good for lighting. So I thought, why isn't this included in the list of Shmonim and Tilot? Wait. First of all, what's that referring to? That's referring to the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Simchat Beit HaShoeva. What shy to compare that to Lod Ner Tamid? I mean, that's basically a. First of all, it's a big fire. I mean, we said before, we're not worried about things that are very hot. And it's there's no mitzvah d'oraisa to make a Simchat Beit HaShoeva. We make take the Simchas Beis HaShoeiv ourselves. Now, the Shaila is, the assertion that it's a Simchas Beis HaShoeiv, I was clear from the Mishnah there, is problematic because the Big Day Kahuna are also Vahamot. The Bishlema, I mean, if you're going to tell me that this is a mitzvah, and so on, so I'm using it for further Kadosh purpose, but what right would I have to be Moel in it, essentially? I'm using it for no purpose of the Big Day Kahuna originally, and I'm going to use it because I'm looking for good material to make a deal out of. It doesn't seem to be kosher. What were you going to say?
Even if they're no longer useful.
Well, why not? Why not? When does the Kedusha is Pakha Bifdi? Because you're not going to use it. Where did you find that?
Sorry, I only have
You're getting closer. Yoda knows. Let's think about it. The first Tosfos suggests.
No, it's no longer a clay. Once we'll find out, it's no longer a clay.
Well, what about they have to tear it up? Who says that the Kedusha is a din and pale? So the Re suggests that since the Olsen Kat Beit HaShoeiva was made for the Kavod of a Korban, because the Nisuch HaMayim is a Korban. So it boils down to utilizing the Big Day Kahuna for Korban, which is what it was there in the first place, right? Now, even though it does say that a woman was able to actually be Mivareret Chitim La'Olsen Kat Beit HaShoeiva, which means that people apparently would use it even for other purposes, this doesn't mean that she did. I mean, she could. It's not much light. Maybe in Achinami, or maybe in Achinami there's no, because there's no Me'ila on it. No, it's only light. But the other question, it's interesting, the Chazanish actually takes the approach of it, but with the one piece that he's missing, is brilliant. And that is, the time is that if the Big Day Kahuna are worn out, then they're begetter naaseh mitzvatan. Naaseh mitzvatan. But if I have something which has a specific use, when I complete the use, there's no longer any Me'ila. So it's like, in other words, it's the carpet that you now did whatever you needed to do with it. So I did whatever I needed to do. I wore it till it wore out. it's not because someone wore out. It's that indeed I used it up.
So if you throw up, that's the illusion.
Okay. And the other question, of course, is if it's mixed over here, it's mixed material, right? Talking about Kivayim. What's the problem? The only reason we answered mixed material, some things that would burn properly, some things that wouldn't burn properly, is because we made a gezera, because maybe you'll come to light from the wrong thing, right? Alone. That's what we said before, but we don't make gezera in the Beit HaMikdash. So what's the question? Now we'll burn al yedei the pishta, even though it won't burn with the tzemer. But so what? Mixed material. So Tosfos says it could be that since you only have 25% basically of pishta, because all the other materials, the various colored materials are all tzemer based colors. The lesser tzemer. The argaman is tzemer. The tzemer obviously is tzemer. So you've got basically three parts tzemer, one part pishta. Yeah, and maybe it's bato completely. And there we don't consider it's like there's no pishta at all. But we say you're actually going to be burning something that is not kosher for the Nerz of Shabbos. Toshma, the Tani Rabba Bar Matzna, Big Day Kuna Shabbalom, Avkino Tamu Mehem HaYulozim Tilo, the Migdash. Ooh, that's a Migdash. Before we're talking about the Beit HaShoeiva, here we're talking about the Migdash, obviously the Migdash. And here we're talking about using Shemen Zayit, as our president pointed out, but you're using the wrong material. I mean, my love, the Kilayim. The Chor we're talking about over here, the material which was made out of Tamru Pishne. You said, if I can't use that for Shabbos, I can't use it in the menorah. Okay, before you explain, it doesn't mean the menorah, it means the Simchas Beis HaShoeiva, but here it says, Beferis the menorah. So the Chor is referring to the regular Big Day Kahuna. Look, it's not referring to regular. It's talking about the Big Day Kahuna that is made entirely out of boots, entirely out of pisha, which is fine for a pisha, and therefore there's no problem. Yeah, there's a lot of Kabbalistic for the turning of Mechayim Chatzar Erva, including the belt in the garden. There's a lot of remuzin about the turning of desire and biology into life. It was very similar to Shem and Zayit. To make use of stored energy, to completely bust off its original muck of pure life, and restoring it from its biological format right now, which doesn't seem to be light at all, and showing that it contains light in it, and utilizing these ideas, the same thing. The Greeks had the same concept very much of the olive and the ore. And they also saw that as being a remnant of, and it turned out to be the greatest discovery of science. That fact that everything contains light. In other words, the ultimate giloy of the nature of matter and energy is actually built into the nature of Chochmah itself. It took a long time to figure out how fundamental it was, the nature of Chochmah. But
all things are energy.
Yeah, E equals MC squared. It took a long time to figure out. But essentially, it's munach in the concept of turning light. It's not a nuclear reaction. But it's any level of
things into light. Turning things into light.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange, you must admit. Take a plant, pick a fruit, grind the fruit, and turn it into light. I mean, certainly nobody normal would think of such a thing. I mean, when you tell someone that, you're out of your mind. And, if you hadn't actually seen it happen, we got used to the idea. But if you look at it from a primitive point of view, it's impossible. When you pick a fruit of light, that's basically what the whole universe is about. Is that you pick fruits of light. It's an amazing thing. You know, that in the Zohar is ultimately the whole sense of Gan Eden. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu planted light in a road, which just blossoms with everything that you see. Tzadik shalom, but tzadik shalom is merumas in bichnasayim and a belt. Tzadik Park is always in sexual terms. It's Zabiko Shalom in Gan Eden, and ferns, the planting. There's a lot of discussion of these issues, particularly in terms of Hanukkah, obviously, which is why the next idea is Hanukkah. The whole element of Hanukkah is in Grecian terms, the relationship of sexuality and light, which is why we get to the next week. Omer Huna, Pilotu Shvanim Shamru Chachamim Ein Madlikim Behem B'Shabbat, Ein Madlikim Behem B'Chanukah. If you can't light it on Shabbos, you can't light it on Hanukkah. And as a matter of fact, you can light it whether it's Shabbos or Chol on Hanukkah. That's not Why would I think you'd light it on Shabbos? Well, now the idea is this. Why does Rabbuna say you cannot use these people? Apparently, he holds kafta zakukla. We have a question whether the mitzvah of hadlokas ner Hanukkah is to see to it that it should burn, or whether the mitzvah is to light it. And those are two very different things. If I have a mitzvah to see to it that it's going to burn, then it makes a great deal of sense to say I need to use the materials that are not going to go out. So if you hold kafta zakukla, that if it turns out that the fire that you lit, the light in your nair, goes out, you must go back and relight it. So then you can't use things which you have to be kosher, you're going to turn off. Furthermore, he clearly must hold that it's okay to use the light of a Chanukah menorah, because otherwise, why would he say on Shabbat that you can't use the menorah? If anyway, you're not allowed to use the light of the menorah. So if I can't use the light of the menorah, so what's wrong if I use the type of materials that I may come, what am I going to do? I may come to make it burn better. I mean, that's that. I can't use it anyway. Now, the obvious question is, if you tell me I can't use it during the week, why would I be able to use it on Shabbat? What extra proof do you have that he must hold mutar that it's mutar l'shtamesh l'ora? The same way that on Monday you can't light because maybe it'll go out, on Shabbat you can't light because maybe it'll go out. It makes absolutely no sense what the Gemara said. Tosfos explains. Then he wouldn't have mentioned separately Shabbat. He simply would have said, you can't light menorah of Hanukkah with the things that you can't light on Shabbat. Since he goes out of his way to say whether it's chol or whether, I mean, obviously, what am I, an idiot? Must be that the point is there's an additional reason on Shabbat. So when it comes to Shabbat, you have your old reason. I'm saying, I don't care. Shabbos, obviously, you understand what I mean. You can't do it because maybe you'll read. If you're reading, so you may come to fix it. That's a problem. But there's also an additional issue. In addition, I shouldn't really say read because they put more on there anyway. But mutali shtamish for some other tzarech, which we didn't answer, a very, very careful usage of the light. Okay? So, must be that there's a mutali shtamish on Shabbos. Rav Chista says, madlikin ben b'chol, you can use them during the week, but on Shabbat you cannot. So he obviously holds kafta in zakukla. We have no problem of relighting. No problem of relighting. So as long as I do a ma'aseh hadlaka, it's fine. I mean, I could say that there's a greater chance of them going out. Certainly I'm not going to say that it's as if I lit something that doesn't burn. Obviously these things burn. They don't burn as reliably, okay? But I mean, I lit a normal menorah, so I should be able to use it. But on Shabbat, I can't use it. Why? Because mutar l'ishtamesh l'ora, apparently it's all right to use the ner of the Chanukah. So, I don't know, see what's inside my refrigerator. So if that's the case, we have to worry about the fact that I may be mitake, not because of Hanukkah, but because I want to use it. Omer Rebbe Zera, Omer Rebbe Masna, V'Amar Rebbe Zera, Omer Rav, Tilotu Shmani, Shamru Chachamim, Ein Madlikim Behem B'Shabbat, Madlikim Behem B'Chanukah, Behem B'Chol, Behem B'Shabbat. Actually, both of these approaches are wrong, says Rav. You can use these Tilot and these Shmanim in your Hanukkah menorah, whether it's during the week, whether it's on Shabbat. The reason being, Omer Rebbe Yirmiyahu my time at Rav, Kaseva Kafta in Zakukla. First of all, he holds you needn't relight it, in which case you don't have to worry that maybe you'll be pasha, not realize it went out and not relight it, because you don't have to relight it anyway. And what's the problem on Shabbat? You'll look into the fridge with it? You won't look into the fridge with it, because you're not allowed to. They said this over in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah to Abaya. This implication. Abaya did not think that Rabbi Yirmiyah was a good enough source to accept this type of drastic, I mean, wow, this is like major. It's all types of implications, as we'll see. The kafta zakukla and the shamishvara. He didn't accept it. But when Ravin it came, he said it over. When he heard it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he was the Kabbal. Huh? Okay, that's the way it is. What a shame, said Abaya. If only I had been Zecher, I would have learned this the first time I heard it. Well, what's the difference? First time, second time. I mean, welcome, Rabbi. Bottom line is, you know it. There's no comparison. Nafkamina legirs to the Yankuta. The Nafkamina is to learn something when you're young. When you learn it when you're young, then it's really something you remember.
Now,
No, and your gears. Actually, it's two very beautiful Ramazma of the Farshim point out the Tradition of Farshim. But Izakoi doesn't mean if I time I would be Zolcha. Izakoi means if I was yours. The thing that prevents people from learning truth is that they have resistance to it. They don't like to learn something. So I was prejudiced against it.
Not receptive.
I was prejudiced. And because of that, I wasn't able to accept it from Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, you needed to break through my resistance. I heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, you broke through my resistance. But if I'd been Zach, I wouldn't have had resistance. But by the same token, Yam Kuta, they learn means literally nursing, because a child has no resistance to Yanika. So it's very natural. Something that you accept from your mother is it's like a given. So the male, that's the gift of Yam Kuta, fits in very much with the Izakoi. Now the question is, you're saying Vikofta Ein Zakukla. Now you're saying if the Chanukah mayors go out, you do not have to relight them. Ramini, but we asked from the Braita. It says Mitzvata Bishitishaka Chama Ad Shitichalerega Menasho. The mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Chanukah is from Shkiyat Chama until such time as there's no one walking outdoors. Now what does that mean? Such time as, my love, the Ikafta the Madrikla. That doesn't that mean, Barnea, that if it went out and there's still people walking outdoors, that you do have to relight it. You're saying you don't? No, that's not what it means. It could mean the Ilo Adlik Madrik. First of all, it could mean if you didn't do that, look, at the time you still can do it until such time as Kolarega Menashuk. The Inami, or it might mean simply Lishiura. How much oil should be in the menorah to burn? From the time of Shkiyat HaChama until such time as Shitchalarega Menashuk. The question of whether it goes out, whether it has to actually burn, is not being addressed here at all. Hachitchalarega Menashuk, meaning what? Shoppers? That Kama. Omer Rabbi Barchan, Omer Yochanan, no, Atikaya Rigla de Tarmudai. Tarmudai made it a practice with the wood sellers. So basically, it was the equivalent of the 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven, once upon a time, actually used to be only until 11, when normal stores closed at 5. That was drastic when it was open until 11 o'clock. But the idea is, if you need something at night, there's a store to go to. It was a brilliant idea. It creates its own niche. People pay much more than they would pay in a normal supermarket. So Tarmudai has had a brilliant idea. People usually discover that they need fuel only when they go home. It's cold and dark. So why don't we sell at night? So the Rigla de Tarmudai was, people ran out of fuel, they would come running out, and buy at the 7-Eleven, which was the Tarmudai. And nowadays it's the Indians who have all of that business. But in those days the people were from Tarmud. Don't tell me. The Pakistanis are pushing out the Indians? No wonder Kashmir is an issue. I mean, now I understand what's behind it. Fine. So therefore, we have a shear up until the later, beyond the time that you normally would find shoppers in the shop. Tan Rabbanan, mitzvat Chanukah, ner ish ubeto, mahadrin, ner lekol achad v'achad. The mitzvah of Chanukah is for a person in a home to light a candle every night, and everyone who lives in that home is yotze with that single candle. Someone who is mehader does not mean someone who is more makbid on the halacha. Someone mehader, there's two explanations. Mehader means someone who goes round and round in circles, meaning he tries to figure out the best way to do a mitzvah. Or mahadir means he's mahadrin esa mitzvah. He makes mitzvahs more beautiful. He wants to give greater, of course, that's yidur mitzvah. It is a specific halacha that we learn from Zeke Levan Veyu, in which case kosher lemahadrin would mean that you have a very well decorated type.
Beautiful.
Exactly. And that's all that it means. So the mahadir would be ner lekol echad v'echad. He wouldn't be satisfied with a single candle. He would require a candle for each member of his family. The mahadrin and the mahadrin. Those who want to do it in the absolutely most beautiful way. Beit Shammai Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Shemona. Start with 8 candles. Mikan ve'elet pochet v'olechet. Every day, go down 1. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no. Yom Rishon Madlik Achat. You start with 1 candle. Mikan ve'elet mosif v'olechet. And from that point on, you add a candle. You see what it is to live in parallel universes. No child can imagine a Hanukkah that starts with 8 and goes down, right? Now there's children in Beit Shammai universes that are thinking to themselves at this moment, in the Daf Yomi and Daf Echor, that what is it that we should be doing? We'll see what the svar is. Wait. There's the machlokas in Eretz Yisrael between two Amoraim, Rabbi Yossi bar Avi and Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Achad Amar time of Beit Shammai kineged yamim hanichnasim. The time of Beit Hillel kineged yamim hayotzim. What we want to do is clearly to show the additional nes on each day. Each day was a greater nes. So therefore, we need to definitely make a heker of the number of days that have gone by that we should know that the oil is lasting. So Beit Shammai says, look, you start at 8 and you go down and the oil is still there. So you're sensing the very gradual depletion of oil that should have all been gone, and now it's going down. So we know the number of days. Whereas Beis Hillel is saying, no, you should count the number of days that have already passed, including the day. Kineged yamim hayotzim. That's one explanation of Machloket. V'chad Amar, the other man, the Omar, said, actually has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the way the Torah showed us to act on Sukkot. That Beit Shammai says, the Poreh Achar, where you have 70 total korbanot, you start off with your 14 and you work your way down every day. Well, and therefore here too, you should start off at 8 and work your way down. It's time of the Beit Hillel, the Malim, the Kodesh Vein Moritim. Beit Hillel's reasoning is, you're always supposed to go up, you're not supposed to go down when it comes in terms of showing the value of a Dover Shel Kedusha. It's a tremendous nafkamina, by the way, according to these two approaches. A nafkamina would be, if you only have, let's say on the third night, you only have two kids. So if the din is keneged parei achar, if the din is keneged the yamim ayotim, there's no point in lighting two. That's not true. If the din is malim because of the lomo reading, if yesterday I lit two, I can't lit one, light one today. I still have to light two. I can't be mostly because I don't have to be mostly. But I certainly shouldn't light only one. It wouldn't make any sense. Because manish would be no gad, very much how I explain the meaning. I can't go down. Any morated? It's not trying to be morated. Omar Rabba Barbachon Rav Yochanan, Shnei Zikenim Hayu B'Tzidon, Echad Asak Beit Shammai, Echad Asak Divrei Beit Hillel. Now there were two elders, one of whom did like Beit Shammai, one of whom did like Beit Hillel. Zenotein Ta'am L'Dvarav Keneged Porei HaChag. One of them said, the reason I'm doing it this way, like Beit Shammai, is because of the Porei HaChag. Zenotein Ta'am L'Dvarav D'Ma'alin B'Kodesh Vein Moridim. The one who said that he's going like Beit Hillel is to tell me that it was Ma'alin B'Kodesh. And what precisely would be the point of mentioning this Bichlal? Okay, so it's interesting. Problem is that the Rif never brings stories. He only brings the halacha. Why? Why would he bring this particular thing to halacha? The Gra has an incredible deal for you. The truth is, let us think about the case that we had before about the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. The Re in Tosfos says that the Machlokas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai can only be referring to Ner Ish Ubeito. Famous Machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, is the Machlokas, the Re, and the Ramah. So the question is this. If I'm trying to be Mahader by showing now the number of people that I have in my house. So if you're telling me that, says the Re, I lose track. What am I going to do? I'm going to be Mosif. People will say, oh, there's more people in the house. I'm not making any sin at all. The guy is lighting four candles. So I walk, must be the fourth day of Hanukkah. No, it's not. Four people in his house, and he's lighting there, and he's doing the Mahadran. Therefore, says the Re, you can't do that Mahadran, Mina Mahadran, on the first Mahadran. You can make up your mind which one you want, but it certainly makes no sense to tell me the number of days. Titus the Gra, the reason the Rif brings the halacha is to tell you that the Malin B'Kedesh, which is not Keneged the Yomim, is to Paskin against the Re. Because if I'm trying to show you the number of days, then the Re has a good time. But if I'm only trying to be Mosif because I do more today than I did yesterday, because I'm being Malin B'Kodesh, it's not Kavina. So add today, do more, Malin B'Kodesh. So in other words, it's very Nogea what the time is. That's theoretical. Therefore, he says, that's the marker, the Rift is passing, the way the Ramah passed, which is the way the Rambam was going. But these things are additive. They're not either or, like the Rift is said, like the Torah said. This became now the Machlokas, it's part of the Nashkenazi, in terms of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, whether it makes sense to light each person in a house the number of days as well.
Sorry, no.
That's where the Repaskas are. We don't know Shulchan Aruch.
So we all light Mahadim and Mahadim.
According to the Ramah. So those are the Shnei Zekenim. Tan Rabban. Ner Chanukah mitzvah la'anechal petach bito mibachut. The mitzvah is to put the Ner Chanukah on the doorway of your home, right outside the door. Vim hayah dar ba'aliyah, if you live in a second story, then menichah dechalonas mukhalom shutarabim, put it in a window so that people can see it from shutarabim, u'bishat ha'sakana menichah shulchanov v'dayo. When the time of the sakana came, in which the Rebbe doesn't suggest that's the time of the chaverim, it didn't allow you to light candles. We had that before, Rafa. So they would go around, you weren't allowed to light on certain days, except for the honor of the church. Obviously, don't advertise the fact that you have a menorah in your window. You leave it on your table, and that would be sufficient. Which became the minhag because of the Christians who would identify Jewish homes for it. So the Re says, "Bismanenu, the shear of being madli, which is only ad the kolor regal menashuk, no longer apply because to us the pirsumei nisa anyway is only to bnei bayit because we light indoors, and therefore this gemara no longer defines to us until what time you shoot out. So it was already this time, and weren't being madli outdoors. There's a machlokas. So therefore, what's the difference? What time it is? As long as the people in the house are up, then light because the pirsumei nisa is not for outdoors any longer, it's only for you. There's a very important machlokas here, which of course is nogea all the time. Rashi and Tosfos, what does al petach beito mean? If you live in a chatzar, your house opens into a chatzar, you put the ner chanukah on the door of your house in the chatzar, nobody sees it, unless there's other people in the chatzar. So does it mean that you put it in the door of the chatzar to the rishit harabim, or does it mean you put it in the door of your home to the bnei chatzar? Tosfos says, I will prove to you that it means the Rishut HaRabim, because it says that if you've got a kli that has two pilot in it, you can use it now for two different people. I use it for two different people. If it's the door of the house to the chotzer, then on one it's on the left-hand side, and on one it's on the right-hand side, so they wouldn't be using it properly, because the chanukah is supposed to be on your left-hand side. Therefore, it must be that everybody puts it on the single door, which is from the chotzer after Rishut HaRabim, so we're all using it together.
Isn't there a better rise? Isn't there a movie? More later on about a camel going by,
but that's a chanut where there isn't any chutz. Yeah, but it's chanut where there isn't a chutz. I mean, everybody's motivated. That is the okay. Interesting. Anyway, b'shat esekana mini chutz for the day. Omer Rava, tzarech nerachet lishtamish l'ora. You've got to have an additional candle there in order to make certain, and that's what we call the shamish. The iik amedura lo tzarech. However, if you have a fireplace going, then there's not a problem. The adam chashuvu. Of course, if you're not a chashuv, who wouldn't use the fire place for your light, but would have a lamp, then should we wait for the mace tomorrow? We better. We had a long day today, and it's 1 hour and 6 minutes, and that's way beyond our time. And we started a little bit before.
Just like the Shere Kershus word, near Ishu Beisel, because the Gula came from one person's household, therefore it's near Ishu Beisel.
Lovely.
Palestinian too.
Palestinian too?